can't say this enough. I am so blessed with having been able to reach financial independence at 33. Since then, for the past 4 years, I've been able to enjoy life in an almost unimaginable way with my wife and my two kids. Before knowing anything about financial independence, there's no way I could have thought this was possible. And I'm really grateful and thankful that I can do this. But what made that possible? What did I have that enabled me to build financial freedom and stop working at 33? I didn't build any unicorn startup tech company. I didn't bet on individual stocks on specific crypto and got super lucky with that. And I didn't inherit any big money. In fact, I started at zero when I was 26. I even was in debt, right? And I had no accommodation, no social security, no pension system to rely upon because I was an expat. And my investment strategy is actually quite simple and replicable by almost anyone. So my journey is actually something that can be used as an example in the sense that there are aspects of what I did that other people can repeat. And yes, it's extreme in the sense that I managed to do all of this very fast and all at once, but you can learn from my journey and take specific pieces and apply them in your life and improve things for yourself. And that's why today I want to share with you the 5 things that really helped me reach financial independence, because I want you to be able to learn from those, apply them at your own level and your own scale in your own life, make progress one step at a time and improve your life. All right, let's go. Hi, this is Sebastian and welcome back to the Fire Belgium Show. Today, I want to talk about the 5 things that helped me reach financial independence early in life so that you can also benefit from them, apply them at your own way, in your own way, at your own level, and improve your life. So the first big thing that really helped me get there is a shift in money mindset and happiness mindset. There's many shifts in mindset that have taken place for me over the years, and they all played a big role at some level. And I think all combined, they're a really powerful aspect of why I am where I am today, right? So let's dive into those. The first money mindset is to realize that money is a tool that you can use to buy time, to buy security and freedom, all of which can then help you buy happiness, right? So yes, you can use that tool to buy stuff you need for your daily life or stuff you want and like experiences and luxuries or whatever. You can also use it to buy security and freedom. And this is a major change in mindset, something that most people don't even consider when making a purchase or thinking about what to do with their money, because in their head, they're going to retirement at 65, 67, or 70, whatever the age will be in the future. The big mindset shift here is that knowing that financial independence is a thing and that it is possible and that you can, if you manage your money properly, you can stop working before the usual retirement age. Just knowing this is super powerful, right? To me, this is probably the number one thing that impacted my life, because realizing that this is a thing allows me to think outside the box and think about how to make it happen. If I don't even know it exists, I can't even pursue it, right? So the simple awareness of that we can use money to create security, freedom, and buy back time, just knowing that is a major, major change. And obviously, if you're here, you already know that, right? But if it's the first time, or if you're just discovering financial independence, realize it is possible. Right. And at your own level doesn't mean that everyone's going to retire at 33 or 40, but at your own level, you can buy back time and take control over your time. And with that financial security and freedom you can build. So part of this money mindset shift is to realize that this is something that we improve gradually, right? It's a step-by-step process. You are where you are today. I started in a situation where I had no idea about financial independence. If I had no idea about finance in general, and I was in debt, right? So you start where you are and you just take one step, right? To me, this is super important. It's not, it doesn't work to say, oh, but for me, it's impossible. There is something to do for the vast majority of people. There is something that can be done and improve the situation. Another important mindset shift is to be able to focus on the value that money can bring. So it's about realizing that we can spend money effectively to get something out of it. And if we're able to optimize for value, then we'll be able to keep more of the money for example, security and freedom, right? So really focusing on the value of what you can get is the key. If you need, like stupid examples, if you need a phone, you don't necessarily have to go for the latest, most expensive phone. You don't have to go for the most expensive. You don't have to go for latest. You don't even have to go for a new phone. There are tons of excellent phones that are sold secondhand, refurbished, that are excellent quality. They provide all the things you need and they're far cheaper, right? This allows you to unlock money to put into something else that will bring you value. And as you optimize for value like this, you'll get far more value out of your money, right? And part of that value comes from building security and freedom, which leads to financial independence. So this is an extremely important concept because a lot of people simply feel like they want to get the latest thing, they want to get new. I think it's worth asking yourself when you want to buy something, what is it that I actually want from that thing? And think about, is there other ways I can get that? Being smart with my spending, right? And sometimes it's about renting something instead of buying it. Sometimes it's about going secondhand instead of getting new. Sometimes it's about not buying it, but figuring another way of getting that instead, right? Sometimes even buying a house, right? We want security. We want a place to live. Renting is not such a bad thing either, right? So consider the options, see what works best for your financial situation, for your happiness, focus on the value rather than on the thing that society wants you to buy. And this leads me to another part of the mindset shift, which is realizing that good things in life actually don't cost very much. For example, in my life, what I value most is spending time with my family and my friends. And I don't need to spend very much to do that if I live near them, right? So to me, one example, as I was on the way to financial independence, working as a consultant, was moving from having my own studio in a nice neighborhood with, like most people would have at that age. And in that environment, that's what was done. I moved to a shared house with friends. That was a bit cheaper. It was maybe, you know, a little less comfortable in the sense that, yes, okay, there's people, you have to deal with stuff, you have to deal with, I don't know, cleaning. But it's social, right? There's always social life. I value that far more than whatever peace I would have had on my own in my own little studio. And it brought joy in my life, right? At a lower cost than what I had before. And it's not something that was common where I was. It is much more common here in Belgium. So I would say enjoy that, like really benefit, take advantage of that and find a good place surrounded by good people, because there's value in this that you can't get if you live on your own. And yes, maybe there's a time in your life where you want to live on your own, especially if you're family. But I still do today believe that living with more people is better than living with fewer people, and obviously better than living on your own. From a social wealth perspective, but I think it also makes sense financially. But mostly I would say it's because the good things in life is when we are with other people. And then some other things that don't cost much is what you do with other people, right? So you don't really have to go to expensive places to spend time with family and friends. You can do very simple things, going outdoor, going hiking, going for a picnic, going to the beach, going for a walk even, right? Simple things, riding a bike together, going to the pool together, things that are simple, don't cost much money, but just let you enjoy time together with other people. And these are like simple things that don't cost much. And to me, these are the things that I want more of in my life. And it's nice because as someone who's financially independent with a limited budget, I can't afford that. And I think realizing that this is the case helps us get to financial independence earlier. And to me, that's something that I did realize as I was looking for ways to save. I also realized that actually spending less on stuff, but actually focusing on spending time with family helped me a lot, right? So to me, this is an important mindset shift. Now, this one leads to another one, which is it's okay to be different from what everyone around you expects you to be, right? So being part of the FIRE movement sometimes puts us in a place where we want to save money on a bunch of things, but it's kind of odd when other people see it. Some people call us cheap, right? We call ourselves probably frugal. It's a slightly better way of saying this. I like to say we are value focused because we look for ways to get value out of money that we've earned in a smart way, right? But often that will come with something that's a bit different. Like my own example was moving from my own studio to a shared house. And it was a bit strange for my coworkers that knew about this because everyone was able to afford, you know, better accommodation, but more separate, right? Same with my car. I sold my car. Everyone was driving some nice consultant cars. And I got rid of mine and moved to public transport and car sharing with my wife, which was a tiny car, not a consultant level car. I think it's okay being different, especially when you have figured out something most people don't know, which is financial independence is possible. Building your own personal finance system that works for you, that puts money aside and that makes that money work for you when you sleep. When you have that in place, you have the confidence to be different, right? So I would say, yes, like figure out what you want, figure out a way to get there, realize that it is possible. If financial independence is what you're seeking, know that it is possible. There's tons of us doing this, and it's okay if that's not accepted by everyone else in society, because you are working towards something that's valuable for you, right? And maybe other people don't value freedom and independence and being able to do whatever the hell you want with your life as much as us. I think they do, it's just they don't know they can. But once you know you are working towards that and that what you're doing, which is different from other people, is helping you get there, then you have confidence and it's okay to be different and dress differently, do things differently, be different at work. Like, be different, embrace it, because you know it's going to lead you somewhere amazing, right? So to me, that mindset shift is also cool. It's really important. And being okay with being different and actually being proud of being different is amazing. To me, that was part of my superpower. I was okay being like that. And I was explaining why if people wanted to know. And if people didn't want to know, I was completely fine them looking at me being like, hey, what the hell is this guy doing? I'm like, I know what I'm doing. No problem. So be okay, be different. There is an interesting quote that I picked up from somewhere that kind of goes in that direction. It says, if you don't change direction, you'll end up where you're going, right? So most people are on this train to the regular life where you just accumulate stuff, work more, get more stress, see people less and less as time passes because you get more and more busy and end up using all the energy when they're young and then retiring late with financial stress because they didn't take care of all of that at the right time. And that is kind of the regular path. And so if you don't want to go there, you have to change direction. And to change direction, you have to go in a different path, be different. So to me, this is really important. It's like, be ready to be different because you're going somewhere amazing and that requires you to do something different. And then the last big money mindset that I think is obviously crucial in all this is, yes, money is power in the sense that it's a tool that can bring you security and freedom, but this is possible if you know how to put money to work. And realizing that investing is not only for the elite and the super rich. Investing is available for people who can save money that they don't need in the short term. So people who have managed to deal with their short-term issues and debts and that are able to say, now I have some stability. I know I can put some money aside. I know that this is something I will not need in the short term because I have plans in case something bad happens, right? I have an emergency fund. I know that I am protected in case of, say, unemployment and this and that. Once you have a certain level of a few backup plans in case something bad happens to income, then you're in place, you're in a position where you can start thinking about investing. And it's not complicated, right? Especially stock market investing. It's not as complex as what the whole industry wants us to know or to believe. Index investing is something you can learn. Most of us can learn and do it ourselves. Everyone can learn. And if you can't do it yourself, you can still delegate it to a platform that will do it effectively for you for a small fee. That is still worth doing, right? But I believe most of us can actually learn it. So to me, it's learn about the concepts and then learn to implement or at least implement via someone else that does it in the right way, right? So this money mindset of, hey, yes, investing is possible and I can take control of this. And there's an evidence-based way of doing this that protects me from the big risks. And that doesn't mean that I'm spending a lot on fees and costs to make it happen. Like, that is something you have to know. And it's an essential part of everything I've done and why I've reached financial independence. Now, this was the first thing I wanted to talk about, the money mindset. I would say there's four more things that really helped me get there. And the second thing is what we just talked about here. Passive, low-cost index investing, right? It's not complicated. It's based on academic research that dates back to 50 years ago or more even. It started from the 1950s, the first research into this whole thing. And from 1975, index funds exist, right? And since then, it's become more and more popular because it just provides so much value for the investors. And for a long time, it was reserved to the elite in a way, you know, institutional investors. But more and more, it's becoming available for individual investors like you and me. In Belgium, it's still mostly unknown. Why? Because investments products are controlled by banks, and banks have no interest in giving us access to low-cost index funds because they wouldn't make money on that. They're more interested in selling us actively managed funds where they can charge more money. That has to change. That has to change. It makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't serve us individual investors, but they have a conflict of interest. They want to make money, so they have to charge. And every time they charge us is money that doesn't stay invested to grow for us. So index investing, you can learn it. You can take steps to understand and implement it either yourself or with someone else. Certainly to me is the key to getting quickly to financial independence without having to do an insane amount of work. Index investing is a solution. And I would say, you know, I compare it to something like real estate investing. Real estate investing is more like a hustle. It's a bit like a business. There's research, there's a bit of work, there's bigger risks involved in terms of like finding the right property at the right price. There's risk related to the fact that you have one property in one place, so it's like asset concentrations in one place. There's a bunch of things there. Now, I'm not against real estate. I have very little experience, but I do realize that it is a very common way of investing that most people turn to because it's known as an alternative to bank funds investing, but without considering index investing as an alternative. And so I believe there's a lot of potential in index investing, and there's many benefits to it compared to real estate. That's a different topic, but it's something that I have explored for myself. I have been thinking about, should I invest in real estate? And I realized it wasn't for me because of all of that business risk, right? And index investing is, yeah, anyway, simple, effective, perfect for long-term investing, for retirement, pension, financial independence. It does involve risks, but this is something you can learn to manage. And yeah, you have to learn about this. And by the way, yes, if you want to learn about this, I have a getting started guide for beginners on the website on firebelgium.com, as well as a workshop that I have recorded to help people get started with index investing. In this workshop, we cover the key pillars of index investing, and I provide my roadmap of how to get started towards the end. Highly recommend that you check that out. It's free. It's there so that you can benefit from it and learn and start index investing. Now, the third thing that really helped me reach financial independence is how I approach work. We talked about money mindset early, right? And I think that money mindset helps people save money, right? Then we talked about investing, and whatever way you decide to go and invest, investing is basically put your money to work. Another part of reaching financial independence is to earn money. And to me, that is how much you earn is obviously dependent on your skill and competence and education level and the opportunities that are around you, but also your approach to work in general, whether that's employed work or entrepreneurship. What I have done without really planning for it in terms of like I wasn't necessarily hoping that this would lead to more money is I was driven by impact. I was driven by actually making a difference when I was involved in something, simply because I wanted to work on something meaningful, right? And so I focused on impact. I was communicating at that level to my employers during interviews. I was like, I just want to make a difference. I want to have impact. I want to work on big projects. I want to make a real difference. I want to make sure it works. And that helped me get jobs that were aligned with that because it resonated with the employer and the interviewers. And I really focused on creating value. So when I was at work, I was thinking, okay, how do I make the biggest difference? What's the most effective thing to do right now to get to the biggest impact, right? And It also gave direction to my choice of studies and then work. I studied construction at first, and I wanted to work in sustainability, but that gave me a limited amount of impact. I moved into energy management and climate change, and that gave me much broader skill set that allowed me to work at a higher level because I understood things at more of a system level. And I worked initially on small projects and gradually worked on bigger projects until working on national projects. As one specifically in Saudi Arabia, where I was looking at the full energy and water conservation program and developing a system to help the whole country better manage all of that. So massive impact from a climate change perspective, for example. I think if you focus on value in any sort of professional activity you have, creating value and making an impact, and if you make that the key driver, money will follow. And it doesn't necessarily follow directly and like automatically, not necessarily. You have to do your work so that it gets rewarded too. And it depends on the field you're in. But as an employee, you will want people to know that you're providing value. So there is a communication aspect. There is a negotiation aspect to it. And as an entrepreneur, yes, you have to charge for it, right? So it's not an easy thing. But if you focus on solving big problems that other people find difficult, and that create value for your clients or your employer, then you deserve more, right? Because it's an exchange of value. And either you get rewarded for it by your employer, which is what happened to me. I became highly valuable. I got paid more, right? And if you're an entrepreneur, you can charge more because you're highly valuable. It's the way it works. And I think it starts from the mindset. So it's not chasing the money. It's chasing impact, chasing problem solving, chasing value, because that then in turn justifies higher prices, higher income, right? To me, that's an important mindset. It's not about trying to find the smartest way of getting rich quick. It's about trying to find the best way to create most value, because then that in turn gets rewarded with good money. So there you go. This is my approach to thinking about creating high income, which is what led to financial independence fairly early. Having a high income played a very big role there, right? Moving abroad played a big role because that's something few people were willing to do. And my skill set was high in demand over there more than here, because here there's a lot more people doing what I do. Over there, I could make a much bigger difference in a place where there were fewer people able to do that. So there you go. That's the third big thing, concept, that helped me achieve financial independence early. The fourth, I would say, is community. And community, because doing this on your own is hard, right? Pursuing financial independence when you're going against everyone else around you is just not so easy. Also, it's a very long journey. So it's hard to stay motivated and committed if you're on your own. Whereas if you're sharing this, your journey with others, and you can share ideas and experiences, and tips and tricks, and if you can inspire each other, help each other, learn from others, and also teach others, all of that will help you just get better at what you do. It will help you stay on track. It will help you stay motivated, because you will see other people succeed, and this is going to inspire you. It's going to help you move forward. So to me, the community aspect is super important. And very quickly, when I discovered this, I was so blown away by the potential that I immediately was looking for other people doing the same thing around me. Yes, I was reading about this massive community growing in the US, right? Around those key bloggers at that time, Mr. Money Mustache, JL Collins, and some of the other big podcasts and blogs. But I was all far away in the US, and I wanted to be surrounded by people like me where I was. So in Dubai, in the UAE, I looked for anyone who was doing this, and I tried to meet them, right? They organized the first Bogleheads UAE meetup. And that's when we formed the chapter. The chapter actually already existed, but nothing was going on. We started with this, with Jen Lincoln, who's now my friend and with whom we started all this. And later I launched Simplify as a huge community that works on index investing, financial independence, and just is there to help people. Right. And today that's a huge community. It's 25,000 people. And I was involved in that as a volunteer for 5 years. Right. And I still am. I'm still part of the board. I'm still helping people there. It gives me purpose, it gives me meaning, it helps others. It has helped me. Just being able to do that has helped me get there faster, simply because I kept learning and improving things around me. And then others were doing that too. And it's so much more fun when we can do this together. And then I did the same in Belgium, right? That's why I created Fire Belgium. I got here, I was like, I don't want to be the only one doing this. I don't want to be on my own. Like, who else is like me? And that's why Fire Belgium was born on Facebook. And now it's a group of 6,000 people. If you're not on the group, come and join us. Join the conversation. Join the meetups. Like, I've been organizing in-person meetups, but also online meetups. During COVID, we did one every week, right? Because that was a time we had to get together. We needed connection. Everyone was kind of separate. And it was a great opportunity to develop so many cool relationships with so many people in the community. And I'm still doing that, right? We're having more meetups, now more in person, but there are meetups. And so I recommend you join the Facebook group and you join us in future meetups. It would be amazing to see you and be able to exchange on all these topics. Like, I'd love that. So this is another important aspect. And another, finally, the last aspect of the fifth thing that really helped me get to financial independence. It's probably the most important one overall, in the sense that it really, for me, consolidated my whole life project, with this being part of it. And that is just being able to work with my wife. So working as a team with your partner is such an amazing advantage when you're pursuing financial independence. I'll just share first my own experience, right? So I met my wife at the right time. We had similar interests. First of all, she's gorgeous. She's super kind. She loves to laugh. She loves to have a good time. She's just full of love, and she's just an amazing person. I mean, I love her a lot. It's very simple. I guess you can see that. But like, we had similar interests. We had similar perspective on like what's important in life, which is time with people. And simple things that bring us happiness are what matters, right? And my life just shined. Like, she had this aura around her with that, right? And yeah, so I fell in love with her very fast. And then it took me a while to convince her that maybe she could also love me, but she did in the end. And so there you go. Good story. Anyway, it's not about our relationship. This is not a podcast about relationship, but what I'm saying is, she played a big role in this being possible, because doing this together gave us so much power, right? It's a bit like the community aspect. It's just more powerful because it's, you're building a project for your life together with the person you want to build that life with. And you have this thing in common where money is a tool. It's better used to buy freedom and security, especially once we have what we need. And we know that the stuff that matters most to us are simple things. Time with each other, with our families and our friends. And these things don't cost much. We quickly started talking about money because I was deep into this stuff and I was trying to, I was exploring and I was explaining and I wanted to share this with everyone. Obviously, I shared with her very fast and it resonated with her a lot. And she got on board like fairly fast, and she learned everything. She learned to manage all of this, and she learned to invest. So she's handling her own investments. We do all of this as a family, but she has the same knowledge as me in terms of being able to handle this, right? We've done our budgets together. We still do, right? We have common finances and we handle all of this together. And it really is a superpower because there's an economy of scale, right? Being able to do these two people, especially both of us being able to work. In our case, she actually contributed half of everything that we have as a family for our financial independence portfolio. So it really is, she deserves as much praise as I do for what we've been able to achieve, right? She is really like the reason, like she's a major reason why it went so fast. Doing this on my own would have taken longer, 100%. And doing this on my own and maybe then meeting someone else who is not on board would have completely delayed the whole thing. That would have been really difficult, I think, because it involves like doing this with someone who might not be aligned. Like, it's difficult for me to imagine how that would work. So that's my own experience. Building a life project with my wife, which includes financial independence, which includes similar values around money, was instrumental. Now, I think if you have to see how that applies to you, right? So what I'm sharing is like, this is what helped me. It's extremely important in my journey. If you're not blessed with this, if you're not lucky to already have a partner like that, there's different things that can be done, right? If you don't have a partner, then I think it's wise to include this as part of how you search for a partner. Not certainly say, hey, are you rich? because that's not a good criteria. But more, do you have similar values? What do you see money is for? Like, what? How do you see your life? What do you need to be happy? Like, basic things that like give you a sense of whether that person values simple things. It doesn't have to be simple things. It has to be something that's similar to you, right? So in the end, yes, for a happy marriage or a partnership, it has to be someone that has common values to you and that is okay with the differences as well, right? And I think one of those values is, how do you manage money? What do you value? Security, freedom? Do you value expensive stuff? Do you value time with friends and family? Like, these are the questions that I think are worth really diving into. And helping, like, hopefully that will help the relationship long term. Now, if you already are with someone who's not necessarily on board, then it's having those conversations, not around, hey, let's stop spending on everything, because that's horrible to do in most cases for people who don't have the why behind. But let's talk about the why. Like, what makes you happy in life? Like, what do you really enjoy? Let's get more of that. And what are the things that we're spending on that we don't need to necessarily, because they don't bring us joy? Okay, you don't want to start immediately with that. Start with the stuff that's positive. I don't know. These are just some ideas. I'm not a counselor at all for anything related to relationships. I have my own experience only. I'm not even a financial advisor. I have only my own experience and I'm sharing it. What I'm saying is, this is an important aspect, so don't neglect it. And spend time thinking about this. Spend time talking about this with your partner. Figure out what you have in common, and then work out the stuff that maybe is not exactly aligned. But this is an important aspect. And even if you're not pursuing financial independence, having good money, like, a good financial foundation in your marriage or partnership is essential. The majority of marriages fail because of money problems. So it's good to take care of money and deal with money problems before they lead to such difficult times and events in your life. So, this is a good advice for people pursuing financial independence. I think it's good advice for almost anyone. But there you go. There you go. These are, to me, the five things that really helped me get to financial independence fast, in a way, right? So it's money and happiness mindset, the shifts that have taken place in my life that led me to this. It's realizing that investing is not complicated, that the financial industry is just not doing a good job at serving us properly, that we really have to go out there and find the ways that actually work without falling for all the get rich quick traps and promises and what the gurus are trying to teach us. Taking measured risks in the way that suits your personal capacity to risk. And building that gradually, right? So yeah, start learning now and improve gradually. And then find ways to earn more by providing value, right? Just focus on value, impact, problem solving, and find the most difficult problems that other people find hard to solve. And this is the key to entrepreneurship, but it's the same as an employee, right? If you can do that, deliver highest value possible, the rest will follow. Then connect with the community. Together with other people on the same path, you'll feel more empowered. You'll be able to make better progress. You'll find ways to manage the things also don't work, right? You don't want to go too far into being frugal. You don't want to find the balance. Being able to exchange ideas on all of this is super important. And then hopefully you can do this with a partner that is aligned. And if that's not the case, at least with someone that you're comfortable speaking about money with and solving problems around money, because that will lead to greater, you know, happiness in the partnership. Right. So these are the five things that really helped me. There might be others. If they come across at some point, I'll share them in a future episode. But for now, these are the top five in my head. And so I'm hoping that they help you think about your life, and hopefully they help you realize that there's maybe one or two things you could explore a bit more to help you on your way to financial independence. Thanks for listening. I hope you found this useful. Feel free to share with anyone who you think this could help, and I'll see you next time. Cheers. Take care.